Chapter 14. Submit, adapt.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21.
Submit, adapt. Submit, adapt. Submit, adapt. What is this all about? Frankly, Kathy and I like to use the word adapt in place of the word submit. Why? One reason is that adapt is a friendly word which more accurately reflects the biblical intention of the word.
The word submit to many people has a negative connotation to it. In the early 60s, teachings about marriage became popular in the body of Christ. The emphasis was placed solely upon the woman to submit to her husband, the man of the house, the head of the home, the king of his castle. Women were expected to be everything and do everything that her husband could ever hope or want, regardless of how he acted and treated her. The wife was never to complain or argue and was instructed to constantly tell him how wonderful he was. If the dutiful, submissive wife were ever to try to usurp his authority by asking him why he was home late for dinner or what he spent all the money on, then she was in rebellion.
When I was a lad, our family went to what I recall as a wonderful Christian camp for two summer vacations. It was fun for me. I went fishing every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. There were Sunday school classes during the day, cute girls to chase around, new friends to meet, and church in the evenings. I requested to be baptized in Leech Lake when they had the camp baptism service. I loved the Lord. At the end of the week, there was a big fish fry where we ate all the fish that the men had caught. Notice that the ladies cleaned the fish. My mom's experience was a little different than mine. When we talk about those days now, she refers to it as the submission camp. My 9-year-old mind did not realize that the ministry was all about teaching women to submit to their husbands. My mother clearly remembers the day that she had her 6 kids at the rustic campground and found herself wondering where her pastor husband was. She had 2 children in diapers and a U-Haul full of stuff to get settled into the cabin. She could not find my dad anywhere. She asked the camp's director's wife if she knew where he was, and she said, "Oh, they went to Minneapolis to pick up supplies. They'll be back in a couple days." My mom, being quite surprised, said, "He did? He didn't even tell me he was leaving." The submissive woman replied, "Oh, the men don't have to tell us where they're going. They can just leave." So there my mom was for 2 days in a strange camp with her 6 children. This was her introduction to submission. On the way back from Minneapolis, the trailer that the men were using to bring supplies disengaged, and the supplies were strewn all over the road. Serve the hills right. I don't think God was happy with all this submission stuff. The Camp Zion ministry taught that the wife was to kneel at her husband's feet and the husband was to put his hand on his wife's head and speak over her every night. They were instructed that whatever their husband said was the voice of God to them. My mother clearly remembers kneeling at my dad's feet in obedience to what was taught. What a dream for a husband. No responsibility to his wife at all. She has to obey every word he says as if God himself were speaking. He can come and go and do as he pleases, and if his wife ever says a word, she's in rebellion to the word of God. Woo-hoo! What a life. For the husband, anyway. At the end of one of these weeks, my dad stood up and joyfully gave his public praise report. He had suffered with pain in his neck, and now that his wife had learned submission, the pain was gone, he joyfully reported. He now realized that the pain had not been anything physical. In other words, my mom had been a pain in the neck. At least I and my 5 brothers and sisters enjoyed the week. Well, I guess my dad did too. That about sums up the wrong emphasis on submission. Everyone has fun at the wife and mother's expense. She carries the load of everything, all the while being treated poorly by her husband. Many women will remember the book Total Woman by Maribel Morgan. This young lady of about 30 years of age stormed the country in the early 70s with her best-selling book and appeared on many national TV programs with her revolutionary message of submission. Her theory? If only the wife were to do everything perfect, then her husband would become a responsible, loving husband and they would have a wonderful marriage. I don't think so. There were testimonies of husbands who indeed were pleasantly surprised at the change in their wives. She recommended lots of fun sex, cute outfits, adoring words, and beautifully prepared meals with no negative words, thoughts, or feelings ever to be projected toward the husband. Hey, I still like the fun sex, cute outfits, adoring words, and I love Kathy's cooking. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
We teach that women are designed by God to desire their husbands. If a husband will lay his life down for his wife and meet her needs, she will want to do these things for him. She won't be forcing herself in order to keep peace and appease him. Our emphasis requires that a husband grow up. It requires the husband care for and love his wife. It requires that he listens to her heart and meets her needs as she expresses them. We think that this emphasis makes for much better long-term marriages, which produce two happy campers instead of one happy camper, who is a selfish twit, and one self-sacrificing wife who never asks the husband to do anything except enjoy being the king.
I personally loved Total Woman. It told Kathy that she was obviously not doing enough to make our marriage a happy relationship. If only she did enough, then I would not be verbally, emotionally, or spiritually abusive, and when I was, it was her fault. This would work for a while until Kathy would get fed up with being pushed around and finally explode. Then she'd beat herself up because she failed in her goal of being submissive. I, of course, consistently reinforced this perception. After Maribel and her husband divorced, she wrote the second book in her parade called The Electric Woman. I never did read that one. I assume that Maribel recants some of her Total Woman philosophy. It probably goes like this. I have come to the conclusion that men are about the emotional age of 10, and that if you cater to them, enabling them to never grow up, they only get better for a short time. Eventually, they will lose all respect for you and become more of a tyrant, more demanding, more selfish, and more childish than they ever were before you began reading The Total Woman. The biblical usage of the word submit is most often translated from the Greek word hupotasso. We find this word in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. The word means to subordinate, to obey, to be subject to, and to submit oneself to. In the very next verse, we find these words, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The net effect of this double usage of the word submit in back-to-back verses is that men totally ignore the fact that verse 21 requires mutual submission. The word submit, therefore, has only been applied to the wife submitting to her husband. Haven't you heard? A husband is never told to submit to his wife. That would be heresy.
The word submit, as found in the preceding verses, has for years been mistakenly taught as being the exclusive responsibility of the wife in a Christian marriage. The idea was first widely propagated in the early 60s. A foundation of teaching was built that a woman was solely responsible for the success or failure of her marriage. The theory was that if a woman would only submit enough to her husband, her submission would tame the beast and he would not be abusive to her. For years, this was the complete emphasis of all marriage teachings in the church. A woman was to relegate herself to being a doormat, to be walked upon with a smile on her face, a song in her voice, and dinner on the stove, while at all times being ready for rollicking good times in the bedroom.
Hey, we enjoy the rollicking good times in the bedroom, don't we?
Amen.
The sad result was that this misguided emphasis simply gave men a new way to abuse their wives. Now they had the Bible behind them. A husband could yell and scream at his wife and say it was because she was not submissive. He could be immature, not clean up after himself, stay out all night, and spend the family's money. If his wife were to object, he could tell her that she was in rebellion. If he wanted to pull out the big guns, he would tell her that she had a Jezebel spirit. Of course, most pastors agreed with the husbands, because most of the pastors were men. The wives were rebellious. In some churches, it could be reported that every single woman was a carrier of the Jezebel spirit. This new form of abuse was coined spiritual abuse, and it goes on today behind the closed doors of Christian homes more than anyone would ever want to admit. Instead of physically beating a wife into submission, the spiritual man could use the Bible to beat his wife into submission to his immature demands. He could control every little detail of their life together and whatever life she might try to squeeze out for herself.
We know of one pastor who so needed to control his wife's every move that he installed a payphone in the parsonage. In those days, calls were 10 cents, so the loving husband and pastor would ration the dimes as he chose. Another pastor we know would so beat his wife physically that he would have to read his sermons word for word. He would be in the pulpit shaking to the point that he could not hold a Bible or a microphone. He would simply lay his word for word sermons out on the pulpit and read while he held tightly onto its sides.
Both of these pastors believed that the reason they acted this way was because their wives were not in submission to them. Rachel told us her story.
I was counseled by my pastor to stay in a physically and emotionally abusive marriage. He used me to go to the homes of other abused women and encourage them to continue to receive the beatings, remain humble, and pray. This kept the numbers and appearances up in the church. Rachel continued, I phoned the pastor in the middle of a beating. When it was over, my husband left. The pastor was still on the phone line and was angry with me that I called him to listen. He told me of a woman who was beaten for 20 years until her husband was saved, and he said that if I would submit, my husband would also get saved one day. That was enough for me. I fasted 3 days, and then my husband left. He later came back in tears, begging to be restored, and I refused. Soon it was revealed that he had been in adultery with a 15-year-old girl in the church. He has lived with several other women since and is still not serving the Lord. At least he is not putting on a show to pretend he is a Christian anymore. Abuse of any kind is a tragedy. Be sure that you are not acting abusively toward the wife of your youth. You might lose her.
If your wife is solely responsible for the success of your marriage, what is there left for you to do? When I realized that I was waiting for Kathy to be the perfect wife, I was shocked. Here I was, the man of God with the power for the hour, and the only answer I had for our problems was to blame Kathy, claiming that she was just not submissive enough. I abused her spiritually on a regular basis, using Bible verses to hit her with, or at the very least to hold her in check. When I learned to listen to her heart, mutually adapt or submit to her, and meet her needs, our marriage was miraculously restored to the outrageously happy relationship we enjoy today. Golden Key, the man of her dreams, listens to her heart and fulfills her desires. Please go to the next CD now for chapter 15, Adapting to One Another.